The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
During this man, we've spent all of the shurim of this man on Parshas Bereishis, and Maase Bereishis, the creation of the world. And this year, we said we would devote to Parshas Noach, to Noah. Now, before we study Parshas Noach, which is basically about Noach and the flood, we have to go back a little to the origin of Noach. And we'll start in Parshas Bereishis, in Perek Hei, Posuk Aleph. Zeh Sefer told us Odom. B'ayim bara l'kim Odom, b'id Musa l'kim Osa Yisrael. This is the book of the generations of man. On the day which Hashem created man, in his form and image did he create him. Zoch anakeva barom, he created them male and female, v'ayivorach esom, and he blessed them, v'ayikra shmom Odom, and he called their name Odom, b'ayim hi barom, on the day which he created him. Then, the Torah here tells us the Shalsheles HaYuchsin. It traces the generation from Odom till Noach. It tells us how long each one lived. And it brings 10 generations. It was Odom, and then his son Shesh. Shesh is the son that Odom and Chava had after Cain and Hevel. And then Enosh, Kenon, Malahalel, Yored, Chanoch, Mesushalech, Lemech, and then Noach. These are the 10 generations which are mentioned here in the following Chukim. This is what is meant in Masechta Ovesh, where the Mishnah tells us, this is in Perikei Mishnah Beis, that Asore Deiris may Odom ad Noach, that there were 10 generations from Odom until Noach. And here the 10 generations include both Odom and Noach. Now, since we're here, let's just make a few comments on these psukim, which will give us also further background. It states, "B'yem berolekim zeh sefer told us Odom." This is the book of generations. In other words, the Torah is going to tell us now the births, the generations from Odom onward. B'yei bara l'kim Odom, on the day which Hashem created him. What does it mean, on the day Hashem created? So Rashi states, Medrash Agodov, Magid shebiyeim shenivra hailid, that on the day he was created, he gave birth. Odom, on the very day, Odom and Chava, on the very day that they were created, on that day they gave birth to Cain v'Hevel. This was by Odom, the first man. And this was Kedem Achet, before the sin. This was not by the later generations, though. Then, it states, Vayechi Odom, Shleishim U'mah Shona. Odom lived 130 years, Vayelid bin Musa Kitzalmai, and he gave birth to someone in his own image. I hear the Torah is telling us that not only was Odom created in the image of the Almighty, but he was given the power to give birth to others that would also be in this image. So it states that Odom lived 130 years old, and he gave birth Musa Kitzalme. He gave birth to also to others which were in his image. And this was his third son. This was Shesh. We could ask a question here. If the first sons of Odom and Chava were born on the day that they were created, so why was the next son Shesh? And he was the one who was going to survive and carry on the generations, because Cain killed Hevel, and Cain himself was cursed he himself should die after 7 generations. So the one that was to carry on the generations of life was Shesh. So why was it that for 130 years he hadn't given birth? So Rashi tells us from the Midrash, because Ad kan pirish mina isha. He had separated himself from Chava for 130 years. And this is why he didn't give birth before. Why did he do this? So this is brought before, a little before, in Perek Dalet Posikhov Gimel. Lemach. Lemach. Had an incident in which inadvertently he caused the death of some of his descendants, and because of that, so the wives of Lemach separated themselves from him. Lemach was the one who was the father, who was to become the father of Noach, and he went to complain to Odom. So he brought his wives to Odom, because they separated themselves, because they said that, well, actually there were two reasons why, but at any rate they separated themselves from him. So he went to complain to Odom, and Odom said, according to this Agoda, the reason why they separated is because that these generations that would come from Cain were going to eventually die. So therefore they separated themselves from Lemach, saying, why should we go through the trouble of giving birth? Eventually they'll die. So Lemach took his wives to Odom, and Odom said, that's not a good calculation. You must do what you have to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he wants to do. So therefore return yourselves to your husbands and give birth, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide what he wants to do. So they told Odom, if that's the case, Kshayt Atzmechot Chilo. So why did you separate yourself from your wife Chava? And the reason why Odom separated himself from Chava was Acha Sheniknasa Misa La'Elam. Because after they ate from the tree of knowledge, so then death came to the world. So he said, why should I go to the trouble to bring life to the world if it's going to die? Before at that time, the whole concept of death did not exist in the world. Someone was born, he would live forever. So he said, why should I go to the trouble to bring life to world if he's going to die? So this is why he had separated himself from his wife. So the wives of Lemach told Odom, Kshayt Atzmechot Chilo, why don't you listen to what you yourself are saying? And because of that, he returned to Chava. So it was for 130 years that he had separated himself from Chava. And this is why Sheish, who was the one who would carry on the tradition of life, the lineage of life, was only born 130 years later. Incidentally, what we see from here, they had a good thought. They had a good calculation. If someone is going to live, bring him into the world. But if someone is going to die, so why bring him into the world? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer them? Right. It was a good complaint. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? Why should Lamech's wives bring in people that are eventually going to get killed? That was from Cain. And why should mankind reproduce? So the answer is what the Chazal tell us, and the Guraya speaks about it here. Because Chai Shor Nami Chayav. A temporary life is also life. At that time they had the concept of life forever. And when once death came to the world, they could not visualize a life of quality. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them, Chayisho Namichayov, Namichayim. A temporary life is also life. Therefore, Peru Urvu Umilu as Oritz. You have to produce, bring children into the world. Because even if they live, not forever, but temporarily, that's also life. And therefore, you have no right to refrain from bringing children into the world. Now, this Chayisho Namichay is a halacha. See, this carries weight in Jewish law. For example, in the Gurai brings. What happens if someone is dying, but you can prolong his life. Now, we're not speaking where it's an artificial life. Today there are all kinds of problems because modern medicine is able to prolong someone's life artificially by hooking them up to all types of breathing machines and other types of machines where he's not capable of living himself. These are other questions. But what happens if someone is living? He's living and he's not hooked up to types of breathing machines and heart machines and so forth. But he's very sick. And you're able to prolong his life a little longer. And it's Shabbos. And to prolong his life, you'll have to be Mechallel Shabbos. You'll have to desecrate Shabbos. Now, we're allowed to desecrate Shabbos to save someone's life. So over here, we can save it. But he's a very sick person, and he's going to die soon. That the Gemara says, Chai Shona Michai. A temporary life is also a life. We find the same halacha, and it's brought in Masechta Sanhedrin, that there is no difference in Hilchas Ritzicha when it comes to the law of murder. If you kill a person who's 100 years old, or if you kill a person who's 1 hour, Mora brings that a Tinek Ben Yema, a child that is born now, and someone else kills him, heaven forbid, that's murder in the first degree. And he's guilty of the capital punishment. Now there, from one aspect, he has a lot in front of him. His whole life is in front of him. And the other aspect, he's only 1 hour old, so we might think that there's not much quality of life there. Or, if a person kills someone who's 100 years old, 100 years old, how long can he live? So he doesn't have much life in front of him. In the eyes of the Torah, there's no difference. In Hilchas Ritzicha, when it comes to killing, there's no difference. If a person is living, Chayisho Namishkar, that in one, there is no difference to the length of life that he's going to live. 1 hour is also life. And therefore the life Torah values very much and is very sacred. And here we have a source for it. Because they held that if it's not a life forever, it's not a life. Why do we have to bring life into the world? And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, you do what you have to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And incidentally, this also is a halacha when it comes to abortions. The later on in Parshas Neach is the source where it brings Shvichas Domim, that one is not allowed to take a life of another person. And it states that Odom be'Odom. And from there we learn, not only is one not allowed to take a life which has already been born, but you're not allowed to take a life of a person who has not yet been born, Odom be'Odom, but is still an embryo in the womb of the mother. And this also, in the eyes of the Torah, is considered murder, even though many nations of the world today look at this differently, but the Torah considers this murder. The only time it's permitted to take the life of an embryo, and that's if he's placing the mother in danger. But otherwise not. So now there's the question, what would happen if he'll be born? The doctors testify that he'll be very sick and he won't be able to live long. He'll live a year, he'll live 2 years, unfortunately. These are common cases today. They're not so common, but they happen. And doctors can testify beforehand through tests that the quality of life is not going to be a total quality like we like to see it. And he'll live only a short amount of time, or there'll be something wrong with the baby. Are you permitted to abort the baby? And that, Ramesh Feinstein, he rules. That's Ritzicha Gemura. It's total murder. Total murder. With no exceptions. Because Chai Shon Namichai. Because life is not given in the Torah any dimension of length in order to be considered life. There's no difference if you kill a person who's 1 day old or 101 years old. One can have the potential to live 100 years and the other has the potential to live maybe just a few hours. So the same thing here. If he's going to live, the Gemara says, Tov, it's better for a person to live and die than not to be born. Because if he's lived, then he's had life. So this was why Shais was born only after 130 years of Odom's life. That's one point. In these generations, after Sheish, we have Enosh. By he Enosh Tishim, it states, by he Sheish Acherei Hailido, excuse me, by he Sheish Chomish Ushonim Omeashonav Yeledes Enosh. Sheish gave birth to Enosh. Now, Enosh is very significant. If we look in Pasuk Chav Vov, it states, L'sheish gam hu yulad bein. Sheish also gave birth to a son. Vayikra shmei Enosh, and he called him Enosh, os hu halikrei b'shem Hashem. Then they started to call in the name of Hashem. What does that mean? So the word huchal, it means to start, but huchal also comes from the word chulin. Chulin means profane, which it means then they started to profanely call in the name of Hashem. Rashi explains, likre yeshem eso odem veyeshem eso atzabim b'shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the first time in the history of the world. This was the generation of Enosh, which they started to place the names of Hashem, the names of the Almighty, on the names of people, or on the names of idols, or on the names of other powers. La'aseisen elilim ulikreisem elahus. They started to call the sun a god, or the moon a god, or the stars a god, or other such atzabim, other such powers, other such idols. So here we have where the Torah tells us the first time in the history of the world, which was the beginning of idolatry, Avodah Zarah. And it began with Enosh. And this was the third generation of the world, Odom, and then Sheish, and then Enosh. From here we learn two things. One is that Avodah Zarah, the main idolatry, where it comes from, is when you share HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, or you include in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name something else in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the ruler, he's the king. When you start to include other powers in the world under that title, that's the beginning of idolatry. When you share his name and his sovereignty with others. That's one thing we learn from here. And secondly, we learn is that this began with Enosh. And this is referred to by the sages as the Dor Shel Enosh, the generation of Enosh. The Rambam tells us about this. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, starts as follows. He says, "Bimei Enosh, in the days of Enosh, Tov b'nei Odom Tov Godol." The people of the world made a great error. Vinivara atzis chach me'ase dor, and from them came counsel from the wise of that generation. Ve'enosh atzmi min hatayim hoyo, and Enosh himself was from those who erred. This was the beginning in the generation of Enosh. This was the third generation of the world. Tovs godol. A great error was made by the people of that generation, and from them came counsel from the wise of that generation, and Enosh was amongst them. And this was their error. Omru, they said, Il velekim borakei chovim elu, vigalgalim lahanigas elu. Kodesh Baruch Hu created, he created stars, and he created planets, and he created the sun and the moon, and he gave them such power, and he gave honor to them, and they serve him. Therefore, it's befitting for us to serve them. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is what he desires. Just like a king. Just like a king who has great ambassadors. He wants everybody to honor his ambassadors. Because this is Kfeir HaMelech. This is honor to the king who they represent. So it would be honor for Hashem if we give honor to his ambassadors and to his servants. And these are this is the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. Kivan Shaladov is Alibam. Once they decided that this is the right thing to do, they began to build temples to these stars and to the moon. And they began to make sacrifices and to bow down. Now, Zehoya Ikra Vedis Kekovim. This is the root of idolatry. The sages, the Chazal, always refer to idolatry as Akum. The idolater is called Akum, and it's referred to as Akum. What does Akum mean? Akum is the abbreviation of Avedis Kechovim Umazolish, the serving of the stars and the planets. That's what the word Akum means. Ein Chov Vov Mem. Avedis Kechovim Umazolish. And the reason why this word refers to all types of idolatries is because this is how it all began. It all began, all of the idolatries of the world began with serving the stars and the planets, and it began with Enosh and his generation. Not that they said there's no God. This was still too close to the creation of the world for them to forget there was a God. This is only speaking in the third generation. But what they said, everyone knows there's a God. But we are also commanded to serve the ambassadors and the servants of God. Then, after time went on, rose up amongst the people false prophets. People came and they said they had prophecies. They saw in a dream what Hashem came to them, or whatever it was, they had prophecies. And what were the prophecies? That this moon or the star or the planet spoke to them and said that this is what you should do. You should serve me like this and you should serve me like that. It's galgalad over. As time went on, soon they were serving and they were writing, and they were making all types of intricate orders on how to serve the star and how to serve the moon and how to serve the planet, and it was forgotten that there was a God in the world. So this is how idolatry came to the world, and this is how the name of Hashem became forgotten. See, we must remember that in the Mishnah Ovis it tells us that from the 10 generations from Adam to Noah, these all brought out the Harein Af, the anger of Hashem, to the point where at the time of Noah he destroyed the entire world except Noah and his family. And why was this? Because they had all went off the trail and they had all served idolatry and they forgot the name of Hashem. Now how did this come about? This came about with Enosh. Actually, a flood also took place in the time of Enosh. It wasn't a flood from the whole world, but it was a flood that flooded a third of the world. We'll make mention of this a little later. So this is why it's very significant, the Pasuk in the Torah, that after Shesh was born and then he gave birth to Enosh, then the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chovov, Ulesheish kamhu yulad bein vayikre shmei Enosh os huchal likre b'shem Hashem. This was the first time when they started to profane the name of Hashem by placing this name on other powers in the world. This was the beginnings of Avedizora, of idolatry, and the beginnings of the elimination, heaven forbid, of the name of Hashem from the world. Then there was Canaan. Then there was Mahalalel. Then there was Yered. Then there was Hanoch. Now Hanoch is someone who is significant. By Hanoch it states, Vaishale Hanoch Eselakim. Hanoch walked with Hashem. He was the father of Bisushelech. And twice does it say that Vaishale Hanoch Eselakim, Hanoch walked with Hashem. This is to tell us that Hanoch was a tzaddik. Hanoch was of these first 10 generations, Hanoch was very righteous. Then it tells us, Ve'enenu ki lochach es Elokim. He wasn't anymore because Hashem took him. Hanoch lived, Kol Yimei Hanoch was only 365 years, and at that time they were living a great deal longer. The reason for this is because Hanoch was a tzaddik, he was very righteous, but with each generation from Adam, the generation was going further away from Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that Hanoch would be lost with all generation. So therefore he took him before the end of his days, in order that he should die while he's still a tzaddik. This is why he lived only the 365 years, and it states that Einenu, he wasn't Kilokach Hesei Lekim, because Hashem took him. So Hanoch was, of these generations, one of the few tzaddikim. Another tzaddik was his son. After him follows Misushelech. Now Misushelech was also a tzaddik. How do we know this? Because later on in Parshas Noach, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited 7 days before bringing the flood, after it was ready to be brought. And the Chazal tell us that Elu Shiva Shimei Evlei Shel Misushelech. These were the 7 days of Avelis of Misushelech. Misushelech died before the flood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to die before the flood. And in his honor, he delayed the flood for 7 days in order that his 7 days of Avelus, the Shiva, should be finished. So we see that Misushelech was a tzaddik. Also we see this because Misushelech lived the longest of anyone that's recorded in the Torah. So it must have been a schus, that a person should live so long. And that was the schus, that he was a tzaddik, he was a righteous person. It states that Misushelech lived 969 years. So we have another tzaddik that's mentioned here. Incidentally, it states that he lived 969 years. Adam HaRishon, it tells us, lived 930 years. Now the reason why Hanoch, the Misushelech, lived 969 years, I don't know. But the reason why Adam lived 930, the Chazal tell us, is because before man ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, Tevara, evil and of good and evil, man was to live forever. Because there was another tree in the garden in Gan Eden, that was Eitz Hachaim, the tree of life. So man was to live forever. And it states before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you shall die. You shall surely die. So he didn't want him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Now we find that on the day that Adam and Chava ate from that tree, they did not die. They lived a long time afterwards. When did that take place? That took place on the day they were created. It took place on Yom HaShishi, on Friday. And still we see that they lived 930 years. So the Chazal explained, because it states that b'yayim, on the day that you eat, you shall die. It states that one day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years to us. Hashon is ke'elef shonim. So this means they are to live, it was nikdasah, that it was decreed that they would live one day of Hashem, which is 1,000 years. Had they not eaten, then they would have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim, they would have lived forever. But after that, he chased them out of the garden.
So therefore they would live only that day which was 1,000 years. Then the Chazal tell us that Adam HaRishon, who was the father of the whole world, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the opportunity to look over all of the generations that were to come. And as he was looking over the generations, he noticed that there was a person that was supposed to be born. His name was David, and he was only supposed to live 3 hours. That's all that was given to him. And he saw that the neshama, the soul of David, was a very, very great neshama. An enormous tzaddik. The fact is the Melech HaMashiach is going to come from him. This is Malchus Yisrael. So he says, is it possible in this world to lend to others life? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said yes. So he says, then I would like to lend 70 years of my own life to that soul, to David HaMelech. And they wrote a shtar, it states. They wrote a shtar. They wrote a document on it. And this is why Adam died at 930 years, 70 years short of 1,000. And David lived 70 years. It's interesting to note also that people lived a long time in the early days. Adam 930 was supposed to live 1,000. But each generation became less. That's why Mesushelech, I don't know why he lived 969 years. But he couldn't have lived 1,000 because Adam was supposed to live 1,000 and each generation became less. As we see, they all went down. And they gave birth. They all gave birth when they were several hundred years old. Later on, by Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, there they didn't live so long. They still lived a long time, though. They lived 150, 160, 170 years. And they gave birth at earlier age. Already by Avraham and Sarah, it was considered a great miracle that Avraham gave birth at 100 and Sarah at 90. By David, it stabilized to 70. From David onward, it states that was the stabilization of the length of a life of a person at 70. As it states, Shim Shonachai Enosh, that the lifespan of a person, the normal lifespan of a person, is 70 years old. Now, Meshushelah gave birth to Lemach. Then it states, Lemach and Posuk Chof Ches, Vayechi Lemach Shtaim Ushmeinim Shona, Umeah Shona. Lemach was 182 years old, Vayoled Bein, and he gave birth to a son. Vayikresh Meneach, and this was Neach. Now, Vayeled Bein, it's written different than all of the previous psukim. Because in all of the previous psukim, it states that they gave birth lebonim ulebonis. He gave birth to sons and daughters. Here it states vayelid bein, in the singular, he gave birth to a son. So Rashi tells us shemimenu nivne ha'elam. The word bein is the same as the word binyan, to build. And Noach was a binyan; he was a builder. Because from Noah was built the entire world. Why? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu was to bring a flood which will destroy the entire world. And it was left to Noah to rebuild a world. Noah and his family rebuilt the world. Therefore it states Bain. Now the Gurai writes that we darshan this because of the Shinui, because it's different than all of the previous psukim. All of the previous psukim were bonim ubonis, it merely states sons and daughters. Here it says bain. But he says, you should know, that's the sheirish, this is the source of the word ben. The word ben is the same word as binyan. And he says the word bas also. The word bas is also band, comes from the word bonot. It's also from the word binyan. Because children are the binyan of the world, Binyan Shalalam. The children are the building of the world. Therefore, the word Ben and Bas is Binyan. But here we darshan this, we expound this explicitly in regards to Noah because of the way the Torah changed the pattern. So here Noah is referred to as Mimenush Nivna Olam, that from him the world would be built. So we come now to Noah, who was the 10th generation. They called him Noah. Why did they call him Noach? Said Lemor, to say, Ze yinachameinu mimaseinu umi'itzpen yodeinu. This son shall comfort us. Yinachameinu shall comfort us from our works and from the depression, the sadness, the difficulties of our hands. Min ha'adom ha'asher eirado ha'ashem, from the earth which Hashem had cursed. See, the earth carried a curse from the time of Adam. At the time that they ate from the tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Order, cursed is the land which you came from. Noach will bring Yinachameinu comfort. Therefore he was called Noach. Now there's a difficulty here, because Noach and Yinachameinu are two different words. It seems he's called Noach because Vayikra Shmei Noach Lemor Zeh Yinachameinu. Noach comes from the word Noch, which means to rest. Noch Menucha. Or Noach, which means easy, which also comes from the word rest. This is the word Noach. Yinachameinu comes from the word Menachem, to comfort. See, Nechoma, like we say Shabbos Nachmu. So these are two different words. So what does it mean he's called Nayach, which means easy and to rest, because Zeh Yinachameinu, because of comfort? Rashi asks the question. So Rashi says they should have called him Menachem. His name should have been Menachem or Nachman. Why did they call him Nayach? So therefore Rashi learns that the word Yinachameinu here does not mean comfort, but rather it also means easy and rest. And he was called Nayach because he made life easier for us. When it says Zeh Yinachameinu, doesn't mean he will comfort us, but it means he has made life easier for us. When Nayach was born, life became easier. We'll explain in a minute why. Actually, the Gurai brings from the Medrash, though, that there's an opinion in the Medrash not like that. There's an opinion in the Medrash that Taki Yinachameinu means from Menachem, comfort. It's a question then. And the Medrash asks it, so why wasn't he called Nachman? Why was he called Nayach? So the Medrash explains that he made life easier for us. Therefore, we were comforted. It's both. When a person is given menucha from a tzora, when a person is given rest from a tzora, from an affliction, from a difficulty, so from there comes a nechama. From there comes comfort. When is he comforted? When he's given rest from a tzora. So Noach is the one who gave us rest from the tzora. And therefore we were comforted. So it's both. He comforted us, Zeh Yinachameinu. Why? Because he gave us rest from the tzora. Therefore he was called Nayach. Right, at any rate, according to everyone, Nayach means he gave us rest. But the Medrash is saying comfort also. So this is his name. Now the question is, what did he give us rest from? And what did he comfort us from? So Rashi brings the Chazal. Rashi says like this. Ad shebo Nayach lo hayolem kli machresha. Until Nayach came to the world, they had never had the invention of plows, of mechanical plows. But who hechin lahem? And he's the one that first made it. He was the first one to make a plow. Kli machresha. Then Rashi says a second thing. When they used to plant wheat, all kind of thorns and thistles would come up. This was part of the curse by Adam Arishon. And at the time of Nayach, they became rested from this. And this was the Nachameinu. This was the rest, or this was the comfort. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean that he was an inventor, an engineer? That till now, nobody had plows. And Noach came and he made plows. He was a Tom Edison. What does this mean? And you can ask Akasha also. Why was it that it took them dafke till now to invent a plow? There are 10 generations to invent a plow. So why dafke now? So the answer is as follows. Medrash means something, the Chazal means something far deeper. Medrash tells us in Medrash Rabbah, Bishoa shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'elam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he shlitul Odom HaRishon al HaKol. Odom HaRishon was given dominion over everything. If you recall in the Shurim we said in the past few weeks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all of the animals of the world and he brought them to Odom. Lekof Shem Tachash Yodei. He put them all under his hand. They all became his servants. He called them their names. He gave them their names. And they were all created to serve him. Everything will be your dominion. So therefore, states as follows. The cow and the bull is all Adam had to tell him is go plow. And he went and he plowed. Hatelem lecheirish. The earth listened. When Adam said to the cow, go plow. So the cow on his own went and plowed. And the furrows became plowed. There was no need for any inventions. There was no need for any mechanical plows. Because animals were created for that purpose. This is why the cow was created, the bull was created, the ox was created. Animals were created to be the trusted and loyal servants of man. So all Adam had to say to the bull, go and plow. And the earth was blessed to listen to man. So he gave long shurim on this. Hakol nivra bishvili, everything was created for man. So he had to tell the cow, go plow. And the cow went, and he started to plow, and the earth listened, and finished. What changed the situation? Oror. When man refused to listen to Hashem, and nofal mi malchusa, he fell from his malchus. We learned also that man was 100 amas. And of course, Baruch Hu put his hand on him and lowered him after the hate. So then the earth was cursed. The earth was cursed. Everything was cursed. No longer would the cow listen. He would tell the bull, go plow. No, not so fast. He didn't go plow. And the earth wouldn't listen. Wouldn't be plowed. And if you planted chitin, if you planted wheat, so you got seorin, you got barley. You planted barley, you got thorns and thistles. This was the order of Adoma, the cursed of the Adoma. Now this situation continued for 9 generations. When Noach was born, it stopped. Not completely, but a great deal it stopped. It became lighter. The animals listened better. All of a sudden, a klimach resho. Man all of a sudden was given the wisdom to develop a plow. This was concealed for man for 9 generations. Because of the curse. Now there's a bracha. The earth started to listen a little more. That if you planted wheat, it was wheat instead of thorns and thistles. So therefore when Noach was born and they saw all of this come into the world, so what did they say? This is what they said. They called his name Noach. Noach means easy. Rest. Zeyinachameinu. He has comforted us. And he has given us rest. Mimaseinu umeitzvain yodeinu. From our difficulty. From the difficulty of our work. Min ha'adoma sheiraro Hashem. From the earth which was cursed from Hashem for the first 9 generations. So right from the birth of Noach, they could realize that he was an enormous tzaddik, an enormous figure, because the whole pattern of the world changed with his birth. Then it states, "Vayechi Nayach ben Chamesh Me'ah Shona." Nayach was 500 years old. Vayeled Nayach Hashem Chom Yofes. Nayach now gave birth to three sons: Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Rashi brings that Alo Yefes Hagodlu. Yefes was the oldest. So why does it say Shem first? Because Shem was a great tzaddik. Bitchila Tedele Sheshu Tzaddik. First, we speak about the one who was a tzaddik. He was very righteous. V'neile Kishuhu Mohul. And he was born Mohul. He was born circumcised. And Avraham Yotzimimenu. Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov and all of Israel come from Shem. So first it speaks about his son Shem. Then it speaks about Chom. And then it speaks about Yofes. A question is asked, though. It states that he was 500 years old and he gave birth to these three. In all the previous generations, we see that they didn't give birth when they were very young, but still they gave birth when they were a few hundred years old, 150, 200 years. Why all of a sudden by Nayach is he 500 years old and he gives birth? So Rashi brings in the Medrash, Matam kol adedis hele lekuf shona v'zele chomesh meyas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Nayach to give birth too early. Because he says he doesn't want him to give birth. At this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that he was going to bring the flood and destroy all of mankind. He didn't want him to give birth if they would be Rishoyim and had to be destroyed. So therefore, he prevented any birth from Nayach until closer to the flood. And when Nayach's sons were born after he was 500 years old, that was less than 100 years before the flood. And the Chazal tell us that before the giving of the Torah, anyone who was less than 100 years old was not a bar einshin. He was not capable, he was not guilty of any death penalty. Just like we have, this is mishomayim. We have our halacha like this, that this is after the giving of the Torah. If someone commits a crime and he's a minor, he's under 13, or a girl under 12, so then they cannot receive any punishment from the Beznin. But if a girl's 12 or a boy is 13, then they are guilty. Okay? They are capable of receiving punishment from the Beznin. But not Mishomayim, not from heaven. Those penalties that were not given over to the Beznin, to the courts to exercise, but heaven gives them. Heaven would not decree these penalties on anyone under 20. Ein Shei Shemaim, you have to be a Ben Chof, 20 years old. This was after the giving of the Torah. Before the giving of the Torah, it's brought that you had to be 100 years old. Less than 100, you were not a recipient of an Einish Mishamayim, of a death penalty or a penalty from heaven. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the Nayach's sons, in case they were Rishoyim, that they should be washed away by the flood. So he delayed any birth that Nayach would have for 500 years, which meant that they would be less than 100 years old at the time of the flood. And this way they won't be washed away. So this is why. Now Shem was a tzaddik. So Shem was not killed in the flood because of his own tzidkis. But Chom and Yefes were not tzaddikim. So why weren't they killed in the flood? They weren't killed in the flood because they were less than 100. This is why Kovish Mayonis, he prevented Nayach from, and deferred Nayach's birth until he was 500. Now we go to a posuk which is a little before, and this is posuk of Beis. Posuk of Beis, when we're speaking here of Lemach, Lemach had two wives. One wife was Silo. Silo gam hi yoldo, she gave birth to Tuvel Kain, and she gave birth to Naoma. Aches Tuvel Kain Naoma. So Lemach, which was a previous generation, he had a wife by the name of Silo, and Silo gave birth to a son Tuvel Kain and a daughter Naoma. The Chazal tell us Naoma, this is Ishtei Shel Nayach. This is the wife of Noach, Na'ama. The guy explains, this is why the Torah is telling us this. Because in none of these generations, it basically states the name of the son. They had, it says, Vayoled Bonim Ubonis. They all had many sons and daughters. But it states the name of one son that was the main one that carried on the lineage of the generation. See, that's what it tells us on all these 10 generations. The exception to this is Na'ama. Na'ama was the only daughter that's mentioned here by name. Why is the Torah telling us this? So from here the Chazal learn, because it wants to tell us who Noach's wife is. So the Gurai explains, it wants to answer a question. We know that of the flood, where the whole world was destroyed, Noach and his wife were not destroyed, or their three sons and their three wives. So their sons and wives we understand, because we said that they were born much later, already 500 years after the birth of Noach. So it was less than 100 years before the flood. Noach was saved because of his own schus. But now the question is, why was Noach's wife saved? What did she do? Why was she saved? She was certainly older than 100 years, because Noach already was 600, almost 600 years. So why was she saved? So here the Torah tells us, because she was saved in her own schus. She was saved through her own merit. She herself was a tzaddikus. And that's why the Torah writes her name explicitly here. And that's why her name was Na'ama. Na'ama means beautiful. She was Ne'imin b'maseho. Her deeds were beautiful, and therefore she was a righteous woman. And this is the reason why she was saved. We'll go back to this Rambam for a minute that we quoted from before, from Enosh, which was the beginning of idolatry. So the Rambam speaks that from the time of Enosh, that was the third generation, so idolatry started to grow and it expanded until soon everyone forgot who Hashem was. And he goes on until it was forgotten completely. And then he writes, right at the end of Halacha Gimel, Beis, right before Gimel, he writes, Aval Tzur Elomim, the creator of the world, Lo Hayashum Odom. It came as the generations went on, these Galgal Adoris, that the creator of the world was not known to anyone. Shoyim Akiri. No one knew him. Belay Yedo. And no one knew of him. It became forgotten. After the generation of Enosh, which was the third generation. Now he's going to Avraham. Avraham was the 20th generation. He says it was forgotten, totally forgotten. Ele Yechidim Be'elam. Except very rare individuals in the world. And he names a few of those rare individuals. Who were some of the rare individuals that always knew Hashem and did not become lost in idolatry? Kigain Chanoch. So he mentions Chanoch. Chanoch is one of these generations where it states Chanoch walked with Hashem. He was a tzaddik. Misushalach. Misushalach was his son. That was another tzaddik. Noach. Noach is another tzaddik. Shem. Shem was the son of the son of Noach. Or Aver. Aver was the great-grandson of Shem, generations later. So in the whole world, you had a few tzaddikim at this time. And one was Chanoch, and one was Meshuselach, which we spoke about, and then Noach, and then Shem, and then later, four generations later, Aver. So these were the tzaddikim. Otherwise, it was all forgotten. Now, a little further, after the birth of Noach, so the Torah tells us, Vahiki hechelo odom le'eva p'nei adomo, after man started to multiply on the earth, uvone zhulda lehem, and daughters were born to them, ויירו בני אלוהים אס בני סעודם כיתה וסיינה ויכלם נושי מכל אשר בוחרו. And the Bnei Elohim were either the noblemen, nobility, and the Medrash is also that they were even angels that had come down. And they saw the daughters of men, and they saw that they were good and beautiful, and they took for them wives, mikol asher bochoru, from whatever they chose. So Rashi brings, what does this mean, avbulas baal? They even took other people's wives, in other words, adultery, afazocher, and they even took males for wives, vabahema, and even animals. So the world now was going very far away. Well, it was totally bringing itself to ruination. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he says, I can't leave my spirit amongst men anymore. And he saw what's happening. Vayar Hashem ki rabo roso odem boretz v'chol yetzer machshavos libei rak rakol hayom. And he saw how evil man is becoming, and his thoughts are only evil. Now, and he said, Emcha eso odem asher borosi, I will eradicate man which I have created, me'al penei adoma, from the earth, me'odem bad behema, man, animal, remes, everything that creeps, eifa shemayim, all of the birds, ki nechamti ki asisim, because I have remorse that I have made man. And if we go a little further into Parshas Neah, so there it states, vatishocheso oretz lifnei elokim, that the land became ruined. Now ruined, so Rashi brings, that's erva, in other words, acts of immorality, incest and adultery, and also idolatry. And ki hishkis kol bosor vatimale oretz komos, and the land became full of gezel, of theft, of dishonesty. Vayar Elokim es oretz v'inei nishkoso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they are ruining their ways. Ki hishkis kol boses darkei al oretz. All flesh was ruining itself. So there the Chazal say, afilu behema v'chaya v'eif nishkokin nishein aminon. Even animals, the domesticated animal and the wild animal and the birds, were intermingling with species that were not of their own kind. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kate kol boso bolifanai. It's the end of all life. Because the world is full of chomos. The world is full of dishonesty of gezel. So from here we darshan le'nechtem gzadinam elal gezel. The Gemara brings from Sanhedrin, Rashi brings, that it was all of these avedas that caused it. There was idolatry. There was the immorality to the extreme of adultery and incest and homosexuality. And theft. But it brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Nayach that I am bringing an end to the world, so there he said, because the world is full of theft. That was the final straw. Le'nechtam gzardin. The decree was sealed because of the theft and dishonesty that went on in the world. So this is what brought us, or brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu to his decision of eradicating and eliminating the creation. Now, and the posuk vayinochem Hashem ki oso, it states vayinochem Hashem ki oso sodom ba'oretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had remorse that he made man on the land. Vayishatzei v'alibo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very sad. It states Yismach Hashem b'maisov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a builder. When he builds, he's happy. He rejoices in his creations. But when he has to destroy, he became very sad. This is the nature of man. Man rejoices in building, but in churban, in desolation, he becomes depressed. So he had remorse that he made man ala oritz on the earth. What does that mean? So Rashi brings, he says like this. Now Vayinochem is two interpretations. He had remorse. But there's another interpretation. Vayinochem means nechoma. He was comforted. He was comforted that he made man on the earth. Nechoma hoyis alafon of shibor b'tachtenim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at least I'm comforted that I made man on the earth. Shilo hayom in ha'alyonim. Because had I made him in the heavens, hoyom amridon, he would have caused the angels to rebel against me also. So Vayinochem nechoma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was comforted at least in the fact that man was made on the earth. Because if he was made in the heavens, then he would mamrindon, he would have caused the angels to rebel against me also, even the Elyonim. And this way it's just the Tachtonim, not the Elyonim. There's an interesting maral, a gurayi, which is brought later on. Later on in Pashas Nayach, in Perches, Kosechov Beis, it states, Vayimach eskola yikum asher al pnei adom imodim arbei madremes arefe shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eradicates everything, all life on earth with the flood. It's Chov Beis. Kol asher nishmas ruach chaim ba'apov. Anything that had life was killed. Mikol asher bechorov meso. Everything on the earth died. The Gemara brings from here everything on the earth, but not in the seas. The fish didn't die. Because it states, Kol shebecharovo, everything on the earth died, but not the fish. Actually, the Medrash asks the question, the Gemara, how could the fish stay alive? Because the fish can live in floods. But it states that the floods were boiling waters. So how did the fish stay alive? So it states that they went and they swam into the seas of Eretz Yisrael. Because the waters in Eretz Yisrael did not become boiling. And that's how they saved themselves. So it says, coal, everything on the dry land was killed, but not the fish. Now, the Ro'or, the Rebelio Mizrochi, says, from the fact that the fish were not killed, this is a proof that they were not Hishki, says Darkon. They did not bring themselves to ruination. They did not intermingle with other species. This is why they were not killed. But all of the animals, the birds and everyone else did. So the Maral asks the question, why is it they didn't intermingle? Everyone else did and they didn't. He says as follows. We must realize man's influence. Man was created as a giant, as we were speaking in the last shulim. He's an all-powerful figure. And he has enormous influence. And he was the Melech. He was created as a king. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Vayinochem, that he was comforted that he didn't create man in the heavens. Because had he created man in the heavens, he would have caused the angels to rebel against me. Now that he was created in the earth, he has only caused the earthlings to rebel against me. So from here we see that why did the animals bring themselves to ruination? This was the influence of man. When man is on the level he's supposed to be, then everything's on the level that's supposed to be. When man sinks and he falls, then he takes everything with him. Therefore, during this time that we're coming, which was known as the Dora Mabul, the generation that brought the flood, he sunk so low, he brought everything with him. And therefore the animals and the chayas also went to ruination. But not the fish. Why? Because the fish are enemy in Ayishuv. The fish live in the sea, and the sea is not man's domain. See, man doesn't live on the sea. Man lives on the earth. A man can cross the sea, but he can't live on the sea. That's not his domain. We explained in one of the shurim before that there's the animal, and then there's the bird, and then there's the fish, and we said in regards to Shechita and so forth. The seas are not man's domain. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yikovu hamayim v'seiro er hayeboshu. Let the seas move away so there'll be dry land for man to live on. But on the seas, man does not live. Therefore, his influence is much weaker on the sea. Therefore, even though he brought himself to ruination, and he brought all of the animals and everything else, Bicharovo, that lives on the dry land, to ruination, he did not affect the fish. Therefore, the fish were still good, and they were not killed in the flood. Now, states, Emcha, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I want to eradicate. Emcha comes from the word machol. Machol means to erase. I want to erase all life from the world. Me'al p'nei adoma. Me'odim ad behema. Man and all of animal. Question is asked, thought it, man, yes, but why animal? So one answer we have, because animals also were ruined. But there's a second answer the Chazal give. Because if man is not here, what do I need animals for? And this is like we said in the previous shurim. The whole creation was for man. If man is going to be eradicated, so then what do I need animals for? What do I need the birds? What do I need the remes? If man is here, then we need everything to serve him. This is a very appropriate for our times, because we see our times in the last few decades, the last several decades, which included major wars and holocausts and ruinations, social ruinations of men and so forth and so on. We see a repetition of what the generations have sunk to. Now, from all of this, Kodesh Baruch Hu chooses one man to save in order that he can rebuild the world. And his name was Ben. It states, when he was born, it says, Vayelid Ben, Shemimenu Nivna Ha'elam. From him the world shall be rebuilt. And this was Nayach. So it states, Eila told us Nayach. Nayach ish tzaddik tomim hoye b'dei reshav. Nayach was a tzaddik. He was a righteous man. He must have been an enormous giant. Tomim hoyo b'deiresov. Not only was he a tzaddik, he was tomim. Tomim means he was perfect. The Targum brings zakai shalim. Zakai means righteous. Shalim means perfect. He was a righteous, perfect man. So the stature of Nayach is an enormous stature. That he should be the one who is given the task to save the world and to rebuild the world. It's an enormous stature. Actually, we find that after the flood, Noah was given permission and his children to eat from the flesh of animals and other living beings, not man, not people, but animals and birds and so forth. Adam Arishon, the first man, was not granted this permission. He was granted lehir shala Adam Arishon lahomeshum beria. He was not given permission to kill any living thing. He was only allowed to eat from the vegetation of the earth. And this was Adam and the first 10 generations. And the Ramban explains, because Adam and Noah, it was through him that everything was saved. Therefore he was shalit. He was able to rule and govern over it. And the Maral explains also very similar, that Noah came to a higher level than Adam. Adam was only called Adam. And Adam means min adoma, from the earth. And Noah is the first one that we see the word ish used. It states ish adoma. Ish already is a higher level. So he had reached higher and higher level already than Adam. Nothing. Didn't reach the high level that Avraham was to reach 10 generations later. But still he reached a higher level than Adam. And therefore Hirshalai, permission was granted to him to consume even living things. Because a person to eat something and utilize that for himself, for his own growth, must be greater than that what he's consuming. Otherwise he has no permission to consume it. And Adam had not reached that level yet, but Noah did. So he was an enormous spiritual giant. And not only that, but all of the nations of the world are called after Nayach. They're called the Bnei Nayach, the children of Nayach. Not Bnei Odom, not the children of man. Because whatever Odom, the man, did, that was destroyed. It was Nayach that carried on the world. Now, the Chazal Rashi brings Tomim Hoya B'dei Reisov. Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'dei Reisov. He was righteous and he was perfect in his generation. So Rashi brings from Sanhedrin, Yesh Mirabesenu Dorshim Esei Lishfach. Psalm expound this as a praise. What does it mean in his generation? How much more so if he was in a generation of tzaddikim? If he lived in such a generation and he still was so righteous. So how much more so had he lived in a righteous generation he would have been? Then it brings Yesh Dorshim Esei Lignai. Psalm Darshan this Lignai. Lignai means to deride, say, to deride him. Lefi deire hoya tzadik. He was so great because he was in this generation. Vilo hoya bedeire shel Avraham lo yenech shel klum. But if he lived in the same generation as Avraham, then he would not be considered such a great tzadik. Now, chalila, heaven forbid, doesn't mean yesh dorshin lignai, that they're expounding this to deride the tzidkis of Nayach, to say that he was not a tzaddik. Someone to learn like that, that's not the pshat. You cannot say that the Chazal are coming to say that there's an opinion that he wasn't such a tzaddik when it states, Eila told us Nayach, Nayach, each tzaddik tomim. He was a tzaddik and he was tomim. Shlimu zakai. Zakai or shlim. And what we just said. Their discussion is a different discussion. They're asking, what does this word b'dei reisov mean? Why did the Torah have to write b'dei reisov? It should have said, Nayach ish tzaddik tomim hoyo. Nayach was an ish tzaddik tomim. What's b'dei reisov mean? So there's a machlekes, there's a difference of opinion. What is this word coming? Is this word coming to add? Or is it coming to take away? Is the Torah coming to say b'dei reisov to add to hishvach? Not only he was an ish tzaddik utomim, but he was even greater, because he lived in a generation of Rishoyim, and had he lived in a generation of Tzadikim, how much more so? Or is this Deresov coming to limit that he was a Tzadik Tomim? That there's no doubt about. But in his generation, he was a Tzadik Tomim. In Avraham's generation, he would have been a Tzadik Tomim, but not the greatest of the generation, because then they would have been greater. In other words, why is the Torah writing the Reisov? To add more praise to him, or to limit the praise it gave? See, that's what it means, Yesh Dorshin L'Shvach, Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai. The word the Reisov is coming to limit the praise it gave. But nobody is saying that he was not a Tzadik Tomim. If he was not a Tzadik Tomim, all of these great things wouldn't have been done through him. Now, one final point. V'ani hinani mevi es amal b'lmai. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I am going to bring a mabul mayim. I'm going to bring a flood of water. The shach is called bosur, to destroy all flesh. What does the word mabul mean? Mabul is not such a common word. Rashi brings the word mabul comes from the word shebolo esakol, from the word bolo, the valet. Bolo means to totally ruin. Actually, bolo means when you ruin something by disintegration. It just disintegrates. Floods take everything, and they cause it to disintegrate. Shebolo. That's what the word mabul means. Then Rashi says, shebalbel esakol. Also, mabul comes from the word bilbul. Bilbul means it turns, it mixes and confuses everything up. The person's in a sea, and the waves come, they just wash everything all around, throw everything around. And then also it comes from the word shohovel esakol minagavel lenomuch. Also, hovel comes from the word hovel, which means it washes everything from the high point to the low point. The waters always wash everything to the lowest point. And he says, he brings, the Gemara brings, that everything that died in the flood eventually was washed to Babel. Babel is Babylonia. Babylonia is Iraq. That's what we're all reading about today. And it was called Shinar. That's where Abraham came from. And it was called Eretz Shinar. Why was it called Eretz Shinar? Because Babel is Amuka. Babel is supposed to be from the lowest places in the world. And all of the floodwaters ended up there. And they washed everything there. And the word Shinar, Shinanu Rusham, called me say Amabel. Shinar is from the word moved. Shinanu, all of the corpses that was left from the flood were moved to Babel. So this is why it's called Mabul, because Bola, it causes destruction, disintegration. Bilbul, it causes a whole mixture and confusion. And Hovil, it washes everything down to the low point. Now why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose a flood? If he wanted to destroy the world, why a flood? He could have done it other ways. We can ask this question. This was not the first flood that came to the world. Rashi brings in Pasuk right at the end of Parshas Bereishis, Pasuk Dalet. So Rashi brings by Yomim Ahem Bimeidor Enesh Ubnei Kain. During the generation of Enesh, that's the generation we spoke about, and during the generation of Kain, he says Olu Kainus. Ukainus is the great sea. The great sea flooded. And washed away a third of the world. And still these generations didn't learn from them. So this was not the first flood. There were floods before. There was a flood during the time of Enesh, during Cain, and during Enesh. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses floods when he wants to destroy the wicked. We find this also by Pare. How did he kill Pare in the Mitzrayim? In the waters. We find it also by Sisra. We find it many times. There's a Medrash. The Medrash tells us, the Medrash in Bereishis Parshas Hay, at the beginning, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yikovu Amayim, V'seiroi Yahayibosha, let the waters gather and let the earth be seen. This is when he created the water, the world. Moshe Lemelech, an example of a king, Shibon Paltrin. A king built a nice palace. And he populated his palace with people that couldn't speak. And every morning when the king came into the palace, so all of the people that lived there, they got up and they waved to him and they made all kind of gestures to in his honor, but they couldn't speak, they couldn't say anything. Omar HaMelech, the king, said, if this is the honor that people give to me that cannot speak, so how much more so if I put in intelligent people and they'll be able to talk and write poetry for me and write songs and speeches, how much more so? So Heishibu HaMelech Diyorin Pikochin. So therefore the king went and he took all of the, he filled the palace, he got rid of these other people and he filled the palace with intelligent people. Next morning there was a coup. They got up, all of these intelligent people, and they threw out the king. They took over the palace. Omru ein paltim zu shel melech shelonohi. They said, this castle doesn't belong to the king, it belongs to us. So the king called in his soldier and he said, get rid of these guys and bring back those that couldn't speak. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mitchilas b'yosi shel eilam. In the beginning of the creation of the world, the only praise that came to Hashem was from the waters. Because it says that the mayim, there was mayim al oretz, and the water spread over the whole earth. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to tell the water to move away. And it states, Mikelis Maim Rabi Madiri Mishbereyon. The praises of Hashem came from the waters. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if the waters Now the Maral explains, of everything that a physical matter that we have, the water has the weakest structure. All physical matter that we have, water has the weakest structure. Water has such a weak structure that it cannot hold itself in place. It will become any form that you make it. If you put it in a round bowl, it'll be round. If you put it in a square vessel, it'll be square. You put it in a long vessel, it'll be long. Not only that, but he says we never find the Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. We never find the word of water in the singular. There is no word of water in singular. Mayim is Lashon Rabbim. Mayim is plural. Because it's such a weak structure, it cannot even exist in the singular. So this was the weakest of the physical structures. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if this is the weakest of the physical structures and it sings such praises to me, so what happens if I create the greatest of the physical structures? The greatest of the physical structures is man, who was created in the image of Hashem. Tzelem Elokim. So he brought in man and he said, Yikovu hamayim v'seiroa yabosho. Move away waters and let there be dry land so man can come. What happened? They said, Ein lono melech, there's no king. Yishalono hi, the earth is ours. They rebelled. So in that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if that's the case, let the waters come back to the way it was before. And this is why he brought the flood. What does the water do? See, the water makes everything into what itself is. It takes man, which is the greatest and most sophisticated and perfect structure, and it disintegrates him. It takes all of creation and disintegrates it and throws it upside down, see, until eventually it is devastated totally without any structure whatsoever like the water. And therefore he said, Hinani maybe I will bring a marble to the world in order to wash this away. This is why he brought the marble. At any rate, Noah was saved together with his family. And from there he planted a new world. And that was the world, that's the world that we live in today. That's why all of the nations of the world are called Bnei Noach. And later, 10 generations later, there was to come Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and we are called the Bnei Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael. This gives us some background into the person Noach, the individual, and into Parshas Noach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.